2020. Now, this gives Netanyahu some breathing room, but still, if either his ultra-Orthodox or ultra-rightist parties bolt, that's the end of the government. Their departure would trigger an election.
Now, Netanyahu continues to say that the overall goal is to eliminate Hamas, but some military leaders in the IDF disagree with this endgame. How significant is this divide?
Yeah, significant. And it's not only the generals, but much of the Israeli population as well. They continue to prioritize the return of the hostages. Israel can continue fighting in the hopes of eliminating Hamas, or it can accede to a ceasefire and see the return of the hostages. Achieving both is highly unlikely. In addition to this is the plan for the day after. It's been a year to the day since the initial Hamas attack against Israel, and in that time, the Israeli military has succeeded in creating a vacuum in Gaza. It has effectively broken both the governance and military capacity of Hamas. But there's no consensus in Israel of who or what will fill that vacuum. The Israeli public does not want to see the reoccupation of Gaza with all that that entails, but Netanyahu's ultra-nationalist, ultra-rightist flank, they demand it. They refuse to see anyone but Israel in charge of Gaza, and they think the resettlement of Gaza is the only way to achieve this. Now, Netanyahu has punted for nearly a year. The risk, of course, is that without a plan, Gaza simply becomes a forever war, a quagmire.
And this is now a multi-front conflict. What will you be watching for in the coming days and weeks?
Yeah, it is a multi-front conflict. It has begun to metastasize, and I'm going to be watching two things closely. First, whether Netanyahu will make good on his promise to retaliate against Iran, and what form, if any, that response will take. Remember back in April, Iran launched a massive attack against Israel, drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. Though nearly all of these were intercepted, it was the first time that Iran attacked Israel directly. Now, Israel's response then was very muted. It was a single attack on an Iranian airfield, symbolic. But things have since escalated. Iran lobbed another 180 ballistic missiles against Israel less than a week ago. That was on October 1. And that was in response to the assassination of Hezbollah's leader Ismail Haniyeh and Hamas's then leader Hassan Nasrallah, both by Israel. Now, again, the Iranian attack was mostly thwarted by Israeli and American air defense systems. But this time, Netanyahu has vowed a more full-throated response. Naftali Bennett, who is Netanyahu's primary challenger for prime minister, he's called on Netanyahu to strike on Iran's nuclear program. And with Hezbollah hobbled, Iran doesn't enjoy the deterrence against Israel that it did even a few short weeks ago. So I'm going to watch for an Israeli retaliation. I'm going to watch whether that's directed against Iran's nuclear facilities, as Bennett has called for. And if that attack is only partially successful, which is likely, whether or not the Americans will follow up with their own strikes. President Biden has suggested that the United States will not, but a partially successful strike against the Iranian nuclear program would likely embolden Iran to surpass the nuclear breakout stage, which Biden has vowed to prevent. Second, I'm going to be watching the ground invasion in Lebanon. Israel has, to date, hobbled Hezbollah's capacities, but not so much so that Hezbollah can't put up a fight. Will Israel get bogged down, or will its successes continue? And I think the answers to these questions will not only determine the fate of the Netanyahu government, but the prospects for a wider regional war.
Well, Jamie, thank you very much for your analysis today.
Thank you very much.
Jamie Levin is an associate professor of political science at St. Francis Xavier University. He was in Halifax.